Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 through 13. The Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today is the day of St. Martin Luther, doctor and confessor. The word of the Lord shall not return void. Luther certainly believed that, but he was having a hard time in the summer before he died. He was very upset with the immoral life at Wittenberg, as he had been for years. At that time, they had introduced a new kind of dance in Wittenberg, where the women would step forward and pull up the front of their dress and then dress and then turn around and pull up the back of their dress, and he thought this was over the top, among numerous other things. And finally, he got so sick of it, he decided to go on walkabout. He went and to the ordination of a friend of his and stayed away for some time. Nobody knew in Wittenberg exactly where he was. He wrote a letter to Katie, finally saying, "Pack up. Tell Philip and Bugenhagen that we're leaving town. Can't take that hellhole anymore. We're moving to the farm, Zilsdorf. Give the house back to the elector." Now, he had had bouts of grumpiness, indeed, and struggled with depression his entire adult life. But this was a particularly foul mood. And strictly noting, probably quite justified. Well, of course, Philip and company alerted the elector, and they went on a reconnaissance to recover the old man. They found him, they made a deal with him, they would cut back on some of the immoral activities in town if Dr. Luther would come back to his famous university post and preaching post. And so he did. That fall, soon after, he finished his lectures on Genesis. He'd been lecturing for 15 years on these marvelous accounts, particularly in the later chapters of Genesis, where God reveals himself in such a strange and hidden way. Jacob wrestles with the angel at Peniel, and it wasn't just a plaything. It was a match to the death. Jacob really thought the angel, God, was trying to kill him. And Luther talks eloquently about how God hides himself behind opposites. And the real art of faith is to believe in God, even against a God who would sacrifice his own son on a cross. That fall, he heard that there were problems in his hometown, Eisleben. And there'd been a group of dukes there, warring dukes. If you go there today, you can see the castle above Mansfeld, where Luther's parents' house is below. And they lived, these sets of minor grafs of this local community. Mansfeld, so small a man could walk around it in one day. That's why it was called Mansfeld. They lived up there together. They had a chapel they shared, and they hated each other. Seriously hated each other. And Albrecht, the head Graf, was a seriously troubled person. And everybody in the whole family that extended family said, Luther, come up here. These dukes are going to kill us all if they keep fighting. Please come help resolve this. So he took his friend Philip up there, and Philip went about it with Martin Luther briefly, but then Philip became ill and they had to abandon the effort and went back to Wittenberg. Soon later, they tried it again. Just as the Council of Trent was kicking off in Trent, 1545, December, sputtering ahead, that is, they went back up and Luther preached in Wittenberg his last time, 3,400 sermons in the city church, and Philip didn't go with him this time. He said a prayer for his journey, and Luther took off with some friends, Jonas and his two of his sons. They got down to Halle within a day or so. Next day, I think, they got down to Halle, not too far, and the weather was bad. It was like our weather this time of the year. The ice had choked up the river Saale, and Luther joked. He wrote to Katie, and he said, this old river Saale is really Sally. It's an old Anabaptist woman, and she wants to rebaptize us, but we won't let her do it. So they held out there for a few days. Luther preached and helped distribute the sacrament. While he was distributing the sacrament, it's pretty well documented that he spilled some of the cup onto the chancel floor, and the congregation gasped as the elderly Luther knelt down and licked it up. Then, finally, the ice cleared enough, and they made it across on a pontoon float across to the other side of the Saale River, and they were met there by, accounts vary, some say a 70 or some say 100-plus horsemen from the Counts of Mansfeld. And Luther was in a carriage. He was put in a carriage. He had been having trouble, Luther had. In fact, back in Wittenberg, within previous months, they had heard during the night a big thump. The old man had fallen down. He was having congestive heart failure and having heart incidents. And when those kind of things would happen, they'd bring together a bunch of people with warm towels, and they would rub him until his circulation came back and he felt better. He was in the carriage on the way to the 30 or 35 miles from Saale, Halle to Mansfeld, and he kept having incidents in the carriage. His neck was hurting, his arm was numb, his chest was constricted. We know what that is today. And sometimes he got out of the carriage to walk to try to make it better, to see if it could be better, but it really wasn't. He got to Eisleben and was put up in a place at Eisleben right near the town council building. And they set about 2.5 weeks of trying to unscrew this big mess there among his minor relatives and counts. They were fighting over mining rights. They were fighting over taxation for a new part of the city. And they just basically didn't like each other. And Luther complains and says what happened was they quit talking face to face and they started getting the lawyers involved. And once you get the lawyers involved, it's all over. So they worked and worked on this thing. He said to Katie, this porcupine has more porcupine quills than a porcupine. They finally got some resolution. Luther invited the two warring counts to his personal chambers, had dinner with them, and had some breakthrough. It didn't last, by the way. It fell apart again sometime later. He was preaching his last sermon in the town church, St. Andrew's. You can go there today. Last time I was there, I went in and looked at the old pulpit where Luther preached, and I said, where is it? It's gone. They said it's in the U.S. Thrivent has it for its Reformation show. It was in Minneapolis at the time. Hopefully it's safe and sound back in Eisleben now. He's preaching a sermon on Matthew chapter 11. I thank you, Lord, that you have hidden this from the wise, but revealed it to the babes. That is the secrets of the gospel. And in his last sermons, Luther constantly was preaching about the fact that the gospel message is simple. It's so simple, it offends the wise and the brilliant of this world. But it's simple. It's a simple Christ for simple sinners with simple and profound forgiveness. While he was preaching, he was overcome by chest pain again, had to quit his sermon early, was taken down the street and across the street to his chambers again. He rested the next day, did not take part in the negotiations. Apparently were signed. Don't know if he signed his signature to it. But that night he began to have pains again. About 9 p.m., chest pains, more chest pains. They tried to bring him various remedies. They brought narwhal tusk and shaved it and put that in his drink, his wine, thinking that was a remedy at the time. And they did other stranger things. As he walked from the day bed into the night bed area, he recited the Psalms. For into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit, Psalm 35. As he lay in bed, he recited John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He was asked, when things were getting quite near the end, he was asked by Jonas, his dear friend, Dr. Martin, will you die in the faith of the gospel which you have confessed before the world? And his answer was, yeah. And that was his last response. He died between 2 and 3 a.m. on February 18, 1546. And famously, there was found in his pocket a note. There was found in his pocket a note, the last thing he ever wrote. Nobody can understand Virgil and his bucolics and Georgics unless he has first been a shepherd or a farmer for 5 years. Nobody understands Cicero and his letters unless he has been engaged in public affairs of some consequence for 20 years. Let nobody suppose that he has tasted the Holy Scriptures sufficiently unless he has ruled over the churches with the prophets for 100 years. Therefore, there is something wonderful, first about John the Baptist, second about Christ, third about the apostles. That is, they knew the scriptures so well in such a short time and exercised such marvelous judgment in the church. And then he said, let not your hand on this divine Aeneid, but bow before it, adore its every trace. That is, bow before the Holy Scriptures. Adore its every trace. We are beggars, this is true. These were the last thoughts of Dr. Martin Luther on the day he died. The word does not return void. I asked the council presidents last meeting to go around the room and just list the things they're happy about. And 42 men went around the room and told all the current stories of how the gospel is reaching people and people are believing in it and the blessings of Christ continue to rain upon us. It's true. It's nevertheless true that while the gospel does not return void, we are beggars. This is Luther's great gift to Christianity. We don't earn anything. We don't deserve anything. We are beggars, and it is our Lord's gracious promise to deliver to beggars a glorious, glorious feast. aren't we blessed? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Brian Chisimore, who is deployed. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.